Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Sylvester Peck Sr. has been teaching art for 30 years, but considers himself an artist all of his life. He's the senior faculty member at Florida A&M University High School. After graduating from high school, he attended Prairie View Agricultural and Mechanical University in Prairie View, Texas, on a football scholarship, majoring in commercial art. Both of his parents passed away within 4 weeks of him enrolling, and he transferred to Florida A&M University to keep a promise he made to his mother to finish college. He has a BS degree in fine arts, art education, and a master's in both sports management and educational leadership from Florida A&M University. Sylvester Peck Sr., author of Images, The Art of Sylvester Peck Sr., is our guest on This Week in America. Sylvester, welcome to the program. Pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you very much. I am delighted to be here.
This is just a remarkable job that you've done with this book, Images, receiving rave reviews. Talk about the decision to publish this book and how you went about the compilation.
Well, I tell you, after teaching for 30 years, you come across, you try to engage students in every capacity that you can with art. I'm passionate about it. And so I decided this year that I would go ahead and publish the book. But I published the book really to share my artistic expressions with the viewer and to provide them, hopefully, with a very good artistic experience.
Well, you've done that. The reviews are calling it a marvelous work of art, a coffee table book that everybody must have. It's a book you can sit down and look at for an extended period or just from time to time. Some of the images in the book, appropriately named Images by our guest on the program, Sylvester Peck Sr. You'll find the book available at Amazon and all of the usual places. Let's go back to your background, because you consider yourself an artist all of your life. In fact, let's start with your grandfather. An interesting story. He really influenced you at an early age, didn't he?
Yes, indeed. Matter of fact, my grandfather had a library. We never actually met. He died before I was born, but his library was still in the house. And his book... He had a lot of books. I mean, I say for that time, our library consisted of maybe 50 to 150 books. Had a lot of drawings in them, woodcuts and that kind of thing. So they just captured my attention, and I also read comic books and that type of thing. And I love looking in art encyclopedias and just, and I appreciate art myself.
It's interesting what your dad said, keep drawing. Someday you'll make a living doing this. He was prescient, wasn't he? He was able to determine you had talent and you can make a living at this.
Yes. He and my mother were very supportive in terms of what they saw and the passion that I had for it. And he did encourage me to, he said, I can quit anything else, just never stop drawing.
Our guest on the program, Sylvester Peck Sr. The book is called Images. You'll find it wherever books are sold. A link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. What was it like growing up in your hometown? I mentioned this creative background that you had that you grew up in. What was it like as a child for you?
It was what I call a great growing up. I'm from a rural area, Jefferson County, Florida. Grew up on a farm, and so that, I mean, there was something to do all the time, but it was all just a fascination for me because I love people, places, and things. And we had our own fish pond. We had, we grew crops, I guess farmed about 100 acres or more. And just being around all of those things, they were inspiring to see, and I wanted to capture in my spare time, just like capturing different images and see if I could draw the material. Also in my hometown, it was during the 60s and 70s, which had a major impact on me because that was the time of segregation. And then there was the change in, I think about 1970, the integration of schools. And that's when I got a chance to really meet new people and come up with new ideas and sharing that. And I found a lot of people who love to draw just like I did. And so we remain friends from that time until now.
The book is called Images. Sylvester Peck Sr. is the author and our guest on the program. You can link to his Amazon page directly by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I always like to ask the inspiration, and maybe you mentioned that in three words there, people, places, and things. It seems like you get inspiration from the world around you.
The world around me, that is correct. People, places, and things. I've never met a dull or uninspiring person, because each person has their own ideas about how they like to do things and how to interact with people. And so for me, that was just absorbing all of that, taking it in, and then taking that, use that as emotional fuel when it comes to creating new products. Places I love to travel. I love to hear the histories of things, and those things to add it to my inspirational fuel, so to speak. And the things being events and people discussion on things and the histories of things. And so I absorb all of those things. And like I said, I use those as emotional fuel to draw, paint, and be creative.
I've often been very impressed with the observational skills. I'll even call it an art that people like yourself have, artists. And I think you maybe look at the world a little differently. You see it in a more clear perspective than most of us do. Is that true? Talk about the power of observation in making you a gifted artist.
Very, very important. The power of observation, just looking at things and how they relate, and not being having an opinion one way or the other, just absorbing what you see and putting that into, or keeping that focus on what you see, only what you see. And then at sometimes when you're sitting down, those things will come back to you and you start to reflect on them. And some things that you'll create off of and other things you want, but it's, sometimes you'll recombine those things and come up with a new product. And that's what I like to do. And also I like to say that those things are, every person has a creative, have their own expressions about things. And so what I try to do, as far as teaching goes, what I try to do is to inspire that heart of that of every person, that you have your own expression. Feel confident in sharing those expressions, because that's art, and that's what makes all of us better. That's what makes the creative process work.
With us on the program is Sylvester Peck Sr. His book is Images, The Art of Sylvester Peck Sr., book available wherever books are sold. What would you say is the function, the intent of your work and this book in particular?
This book in particular, as I said earlier, is to inspire the viewer. There are very few words in the book. And so with art, what we teach really is that you interact through art individually, okay? When you may see something that you like, and say another person looking at that very same thing won't like it. So that art is speaking to you individually. And so rather than have words to explain my view of what it is, I like for you to just to engage the artwork itself, and it will speak to you. It will say, tell you whether you like it, dislike it, or it may remind you, I think as one of the people who wrote a review said, of things that they experience. And I think that's a very valuable and important thing.
How do you approach art, your work, and let's say from conception to completion, once you get this idea and you begin the process to the time you feel it's completed now, this piece is, this work of art is ready for public consumption. What's that process like?
That process, I did define that's just the technical aspect of art. And I use thumbnails, okay? Those are little drawings without a whole lot of detail. And use those thumbnails to figure out what that thing may look like. And then I'll choose the medium that I want to work with. And now the finished product will tell me what it wants to be. I may want it to be technically correct, but it may say, you're done, leave me alone. I think most artists and creative people, especially musicians, will find that same process. And the final product is based on what that thing wants to be.
It's interesting. You talk to authors sometimes, and they say they go into a project and they've got a strict outline. This character is going to do this. But as they're writing it, the character is speaking to them and saying, no, I want to go in this direction. You're saying with art, that's the case sometimes, too, that the piece of art you're working on will guide you in a different direction.
That is correct.
Amazing. The what goes into creating the art that Sylvester has in his book, Imagines, or Images, the book available wherever books are sold. What inspires you, and how do you stay motivated? When you finish a product, how do you choose the next product? What keeps you going?
What keeps me going is this. I always have something to work on. I encourage my students, too, to keep a sketchbook with them at all times. Because the idea may hit you or something may hit you. I'm sitting now working on 4 or 5 different paintings. Now, it may take me a year to finish those paintings because I may not have the time to, or simply one may say, oh, one of the paintings, I look at it and I said, okay, I can finish it now. I can feel it. I can see it. I can get it done. So the process of moving from one project to the next is just doing a lot at the same time, getting started on a lot of different projects at the same time. And they'll tell you when to work on them and when they're finished.
I love that. As you're involved in this, you always have someone who's gives you constructive criticism, maybe feedback that you get from clients and collaborators, someone looking at your art and say, this is my impression of this. How do you separate all of that? How do you handle that? And do you learn from that?
Sure. Matter of fact, my definition of criticism, or how I view criticism, is this. Okay, the role and goal of criticism is to improve a product.
Okay? Interesting. Yes.
So there's really good criticism, bad criticism. You listen what the criticism is, and you know whether it's valid or invalid or not. All the time I listen to the criticism, and I will listen. Some things will have merit to them, and some things they won't apply. But you listen to all criticism, and just remember that criticism itself is designed to improve a product.
You've been doing this for a number of years. I mentioned 30 years. You've been teaching art, an artist all of your life. What are the greatest challenges for a professional artist?
Probably acceptance, because, in the mindset of art, your job is to create. Your job is not to make people like what you do.
Yes.
It's just to create and to expose it to the public. And if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. But you have created it. And you never know when that point in time is going to come when people will look back and say, okay, wow, I really like this.
Are you self-taught, or formal training have you had as an artist?
I would say both in terms of the technical aspects of painting and stuff like that. That is taught in terms. I mean, I will say I've spent more time learning that individually. Now, being an artist is more of a mindset really than it is. Someone train you to be an artist, because your expression comes from within, and the other things that we use to create the mediums and stuff, those are technical things. I mean, but the ideas and the expressions, they're yours internally. And so your job that point, psychological point of being an artist, is to bring your ideas, those thoughts, into a tangible product. Okay, from that ideas in your head, or that fanciful notion, as I always talk about in class, that fanciful notion into a tangible product, something you can touch, something that you can see, something that you can feel, something that you can hear. That's the artist. Anyone can draw, because it's a skill that we teach all day and every day, just like writing your name. That's a technical skill. Drawing is a technical skill.
You mentioned education and working with the students. So what you're saying, you sort of give them the foundation, sort of building them a runway. And at that point, it's their plane to take off.
That is correct. Very, very nice way of saying it. Yes, it's their way, because once I think that in college, my classmates once rebelled because they did not want to be like someone else. And then that's when we started learning that psychological part of being an artist, and that bringing those ideas from deep within, and not being afraid to share your expressions.
How has your style changed over time? So you mentioned impressed with comic books as you were a child and encouraged by your grandfather's library and your father and teaching it in decades in being a successful artist. How has it changed? How much different are you now than you were maybe 15, 20 years ago as an artist?
Oh, a lot. I would say when young people are artists, they, and me too, we want to be pleasing. We want to draw something that people would say, that, oh, that looks good. I guess that's criticism too. That looks great. Wow, you're very talented. You hear those things and they mean something to you. Now I create based on what I feel, that image or that creation that I want to bring in. I don't worry about what people say about that part. Once the product is created, then I'm satisfied.
Yes. Our guest, Sylvester Peck Sr., he is the author of Images. The book is The Art of Sylvester Peck Sr., available wherever books are sold. We live in a series of trends, one after another. What art trends are inspiring you now? Do you follow the trends and let them sort of guide you at time?
I do. Matter of fact, I was guess if there's a big trend that I pay attention to, is they are the murals, city art and the murals. I was in D.C., Washington, D.C., back during July, August of 2023. And I noticed when I went down to the Smithsonian Museums, just the size of the murals that they had on certain buildings, like 40, 50 feet by 100 feet or something like that. And people actually, constructed those things. So that caught me and just amazed me. So I started looking at scale. Okay. How would my work look if it's scaled up? What would be the impact of it? Of one of my paintings or one of my artwork that's something like 30 by 40 feet as opposed to 30 by 40 inches. So that's just the trend of scale and murals. I think it's very good for society. I love to drive through even a rural town, and you will see a mural or artwork that's for public artwork and that's displayed outside.
When you look back on your career, how would you assess your career to this point, and where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, when I look back, I would say that it's been a long road, and I probably didn't appreciate what I was doing early on. I was, like I said, or just said, I probably was looking for someone to compliment me on the art and what it looks like technically. But now I'm grown to the point that it's creating taking that expression that's inside and sharing with the public.
Sylvester Peck Sr., our guest on the program. The book is Images, The Art of Sylvester Peck Sr. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold. How does where you live impact your work as an artist? You were in the Tallahassee, Florida area. What impact does that have on who you are as an artist?
Well, it does have an impact. I love the slow rule. I mean, growing up in the country, everything's slow. and so Tallahassee is like that too. Now, I have been to New York where the excitement, and if I got caught up in the excitement, I would probably be, my paintings would be faster, the subjects would change, and I would be a different person in terms of the art world, because the art world there is much more intense than here in Tallahassee.
It's interesting the fact that you teach so many people, young people who have become successful, various occupations, very prestigious occupations that they came through your classroom. How important is that to you to touch these young lives, and how proud of you are the people that have been in your classroom?
I'm very, very proud of them. Very proud of them. I think that it's important for every teacher to sort of kind of be selfish in wanting students to pursue the career area that they pursued. I mean, math teacher has knows math, okay? And so you see someone who becomes an extraordinary person in math and physics and chemistry because they're so related, then it makes you feel good. With me, I think that at last count, I had between 17 to 20 students who have come through my class, went on to become, to major in architecture, become architects. And we always talked about designing stuff when they were in class. And architects are designers of space. They're artists who work with space. And so they got hooked on those concepts and they moved forward in them. I also had illustrators who they didn't necessarily write books, but they knew how to take a story apart and illustrate the story and create illustrations to reflect the story.
How important is it to you to give back? I mentioned from the Tallahassee area, you're very active over there in the parks and recreation. You do summer art programs. You do classes over there. How important is that to give back?
I am a community worker and advocate, and I think that as we all grow, it's very important that we give back. We should find that thing that we like to work to. I know that my wife and I had that discussion recently. There are people who like to work and help other people, like Second Harvest and the Farm Share, and providing those services for community. I like to do art. I like to do a couple of other community activities that I participate in, homeless shelters, or Sickle Cell Foundation, and those things. So all of us, I believe, should be contributing back to our communities, regardless of where we are.
A couple minutes left in the program. Always interesting to talk to an artist about what they feel the role of artists have in society. Talk about that, and maybe a second part of that is in education. We go through periods where schools need to cut back, and one of the first programs they look at and think it's maybe not unnecessary, but it's something we can cut back on is art. And I think they make big mistakes by doing that. What is the role of artists in society and in education?
Well, I'll tell you what. My role, and the way that I see it, is the role of the artist is to change the world, change how we see things, change how we do things. Technically, we say that there are five functions to art. There's educational function, there's ceremonial function, there's religious, and we take those functions and then we try to do those things. And with the educational function and art, we want to teach something. The art that we produce has an effect. And I even had to illustrate the concept to in class this way. Okay, stop sign is art. It has a shape because one of the elements of an art is shape, a shape, color, and those things are designed to communicate to you that you're at the end of something and you stop. Art itself, I mean, larger, different artists would have different impressions of how to do things, and they share their art, and it has a different effect. The painting behind me, I don't know if you can see it clearly.
Yes, I can.
That painting, it was a part of an art exhibition that we did back in 2014. The students at my school, along with students from Florida A&M University and the English department of Florida A&M University, we worked on a show, the high school was asked to work and create artwork for a show, Lift Every Voice and Sing. That was the theme. And so that focused around the poem by the song by James Weldon Johnson, Lift Every Voice and Sing. And so what we did was we illustrated that thing and we tied it back to a period of time that the song was written and what it was about. And the painting behind me is called The Promise. And then that was tied into James Weldon Johnson's Lift Every Voice and Sing. The promise was about 40 acres and a mule. And so that promise was that at the end of the Civil War, I think that William Sherman, General Sherman, issued a special field order 15. And so there's a promise of for those newly freed men and women that they would get 40 acres of tenable soil, tenable land, and one army mule. So that's where the 40 acres of the mule comes from. And so I created this just to start the class off, and that was entitled The Promise, the 40 acres and a mule promise.
What a remarkable career that you've had and continue to have in touching people. The latest from Sylvester Peck Sr. is his book, a compilation, Images, the Art of Sylvester Peck Sr. It's been called a masterpiece compilation. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold. I will direct you to Amazon. In fact, we've got an Amazon link that's on our website at thisweekinamerica.us. Okay. I thank King Pages Press for organizing the conversation today with Sylvester. It's been a pleasure having you on the program. Thank you so much for spending some time with us. Congratulations on the success of Images. Hopefully we can do this again. So much more to talk about. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
It has been our pleasure. Sylvester Peck Sr. He's the author of Images, The Art of Sylvester Peck Sr., book available wherever books are sold. A link on our website. You're listening to This Week in America, and we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.